The ADD-ADHD, kind of similar, but yet a little bit different. That kind of hyperactivity, youngsters like flying all over the place. We use colors, as you know about that, and we use candy, and we use caffeine. All those things seem to be lumped together for a long period of time, and then we track back on that, we found maybe that really wasn't the answer.
Well, the ADD and ADHD are very similar. One has the hyperactive component, as you've indicated, the other does not. And again, I think that, you know, we are just beginning to scratch the surface as far as where we want to go with this. I'm still, you know, you could address better than I the nutritional aspects, but I still see loads of kids who have high sugar intake, for example, to take one example, and, you know, they're flying off the wall. I have parents that walk in the door. One particular case comes to mind very clearly, who could tell when a youngster had a specific drink.
Mean someone with a lot of sugar?
Yeah, an orange drink loaded with sugar. I won't mention the brand name, but the mother could say, "Hey, this is my. I know you had it. Where did you have it? Did you have it over at Johnny's house today, or whatever?"
One thing we want to do is always feed youngsters well. But a lot of times, as I look at that, the youngster, and you and I have debated this factor, is seeking attention because they really do want help. They don't know how to come up to you and say, "Hey, Doc, you know, like, I get a little trouble. I'm an adult. I say, hey, Doc, help me out with this detail." The kid can't do that yet. So he knows that he wants something. Whatever it is, he knows he needs it. So he, like, wants people to say to him, "Hey, Johnny, okay, we can understand a little bit more of this." When you look at that youngster flying around or, like, grabbing him, he wants somebody to help him.
That brings something to mind that I wanted to share. The number of times that we've talked on the air and personally, that I don't think I've ever mentioned before, but the comment you made just made me think of it. And that is, if you have a youngster who has difficulty concentrating, ask him or ask her if they ever see double. It's an interesting question because about 2 out of every 5 people that we examine see double. Now, I'm not suggesting that 2 out of 5 of a general population, but of the at-risk people. Well, that's a high percentage,
sure,
40%. Now, you could imagine how difficult it would be to concentrate for seeing double.
Yeah.
And the kid, what made me think of it was, and a kid, the youngster, he has no idea that there's anything wrong with that. He just assumes everybody's seeing the same way. It's not the kind of thing that the parent would talk about at the dinner table. You're not going to say, "Hey, Johnny, you have seen double today?" I mean, you know, it's not something you would ever ask. The youngster, 10-year-old, 9-year-old, 14-year-old, is not going to say, "I'm seeing double." Doesn't know there's anything. He assumes everyone else sees the same way.
You're right.
Question. It's a great question to ask. Let me take 1 second, if I may, because I wanted to, for some folks who may never have heard me speak before, may not understand the relationship of vision and psychological aspects. But those are my particular, that's my particular area of interest in the ADD syndrome. And we're born with the ability to see, but vision is learned. And since it's learned, it can be improved. So, for example, let me paint a picture for you. You have a youngster, or I keep saying youngsters, but our guest is an adult because adults have similar kinds of problems, and Bill in this particular case does not have the visual perceptual I'm going to talk about at the moment, but I had some other difficulties. So I won't say child. I'll say the individual reverses words. The individual may read was a saw. He may pass the eye exam. And the information that's received through the eye is received correctly, but it's sent to the brain and it's incorrectly interpreted. So that an individual may be seeing 20/20, information comes into the eye correctly, sent to the brain for interpretation, and is interpreted incorrectly. So you have a third grade youngster, has difficulty with reading, he loses his place when he reads, has a short attention span, can't concentrate, reverses was a saw, things of those kind. The teacher tells the parent, "You know, I think there's a visual problem, and you ought to have Johnny's eyes examined." You take the youngster to have Johnny's eyes examined, and the doctor says he's 20/20 because it has nothing to do. The 20/20 is an outdated mode.
But see, people never knew that.
No.
Until you said it.
Right, exactly.
No, that's true, and that's almost like the youngster saying to you, "Hey, I see double." How would a youngster ever say that to you? It'd be a physical impossibility. "Hey, Johnny, do you see double?" "Oh, yeah, I do." Well, that's the only way you'd ever find out.
And then the next
good point, it's a very good point,
the next logical question to follow up with Dr. Corey's comment is, if the youngster responds positively to seeing double, the next question you must ask is, can you tell me what it means to see double, and then probe and make sure that the youngster understands what seeing double means? Now, they may very well, I have a lot of kids that, where the conversation goes like this. I say, Johnny, do you ever see double? He says, yes. I say, what does it mean to see double? He says, I don't know.
Now, well, he wouldn't know.
Right.
He wouldn't know.
You need to then explain that seeing double means that you look at something and see it two times instead of one. And I'll get the kids who will describe, I'll say, well, when do you see that? And they'll say, well, I see it a lot in school when I'm reading. The words look like they slide apart. I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's why, as I've said, one day we'll get this tested early on.
We're going to get
this done. We'll get it. Then we'll have this done. Again, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, Cindy and Marianne are there right now. And you've got to be seen with this. And, I mean, this can open up, I mean, such new vistas for you with Dr. Seiderman. I mean, you can really get your youngster squared away. He's the man to do this. And what he just told you, the last two sentences he's made, people never heard before. You can bet a fat man on that they've never heard that before.
I think you're right.
Okay, so listen up, ladies and gentlemen. Get the eval done at 610-279-8900. Cindy and Marianne are there right now. Schedule for an appointment. Take care of business. 610-279-8900. And if we miss something, by the way, Dr. Seiderman is on his way back to his office when we finish here. So that way, that'll give you all the information that you'll need. He now has offices, Plymouth Meeting, Lancaster, newly opened in Oxford Valley. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let us do this. Let us now go to the people on the lines. Hey, Mike, you're on DB with Dr. Seiderman. You go right ahead, partner.
Hi, Doc.
Hi, Mike.
I want to just make a comment and then ask you a question. You know, I think it's interesting. I knew a doctor that worked with ADD adults. He was a client of mine. And he made the comment once that with kids, you know, you don't have a long adult history or childhood history where you can evaluate how their lives have gone. And he was very skeptical of it with children is what he was trying to say. But with adults, he felt more comfortable because you might have a 30-year history of, you know, many different symptoms like extreme procrastination, inability to concentrate, daydreaming, et cetera, et cetera. But my question to you is, are you as skeptical with the diagnosis of ADD with adults as you might be with children?
No, I think you make an excellent point. The fact that you have a long history that you can go back and have a retroactive look at an individual's lifetime. So I think you make a very good point. What I'm skeptical about are the numbers. I'm skeptical that 10 to 15% of the population, maybe even more, is being diagnosed as having ADD or ADHD. As opposed to the 3 to 5% that appears in the literature. So that's my main concern.
Okay. With adults, is Ritalin, are there any side effects that are known when an adult takes Ritalin?
There are. There are a number. I think anorexia is one. Loss of appetite is another. Nervousness, insomnia are probably the most common. Headaches, palpitations, cardiac arrhythmia, abdominal pain. There are a lot of potentially adverse reactions. Doesn't mean that every adult that takes the Ritalin will have those things, but those are the things that have been reported.
If an adult came to you and sat down, are you able in your practice to essentially test their cognitive ability, their reading ability, their language ability? Can you run them through a battery of tests where you can essentially say, you know, you're just second-guessing yourself. You read just fine.
All of the above.
You can do all of that.
All of that. In fact, I'm sort of an unusual character because I have, and Dr. Corey will attest to that, I have my degree I'm a doctor of optometry, but I also have a master's degree in child psychology, and I have graduate-level work in the diagnosis of reading disorders. In fact, for many years, I taught graduate courses at Penn State's Ogun's campus in the diagnosis of educational disorders and also a course in learning disabilities. So when I do an assessment, I make a determination of what needs to be done. And the assessment can range from all the visual, perceptual, physiological, visual, vision therapy kinds of issues to a psychological, to a complete psychological or psychoeducational, to family counseling, to speech and language, to you name it, to neurological screening, and then it becomes my job to try and put the person on the right path.
You can do this for an adult as well as a child?
Correct.
Mike, let me ask you a question. This is Dr. Corey. How old are you, Mike?
38.
Okay, there's a gentleman that's sitting, Bill Murphy. He's right almost next to me. And he's 31, and he's got a story to tell. And we're probably going to do that starting in maybe about 15 minutes. But when you hear his credentials, Mike, you're going to fall off a chair. I mean, this kid is Harvard, Villanova. I mean, he's got all the right schools. And the story is really a terrific one to tell you about, like, in your situation. So if you get some time, pay attention. This one's great.
Okay.
Hey, listen, Mike, take care.
Thanks,
partner,
for calling, Mike.
Bye.
Let's go right back. Tony, you're on DB with Dr. Seiderman. Go right ahead.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, Tony.
I'm a patient of Dr. Seiderman's right now. And what I'm in there for is I'm nearsighted. And Dr. Seiderman has a machine in there called a biofeedback machine. I just wanted to tell your listeners about that. I think it works great. And the reason I took it was because I wanted to I realize I can't cure my nearsightedness because I've been nearsighted since I was like 12 years old. But his machine has reduced my prescription substantially, like about half of what it used to be. And I just thought it'd be interesting that other people in the Delaware Valley could realize that this therapy is available and it works for me.
Thanks for calling, Tony. Let me just add that the instrumentation is non-invasive, so there's no surgery, no laser, no pharmacologic agent. It's the basic concept that Tony's referring to is we use a computer that is based on biofeedback principles, and we teach the patient to relax the accommodative or focusing system of the eye, which is generally what's caused the myopia or nearsightedness to begin with. We've had fabulous results as long as we are selective with our patient population. So it is not a treatment of choice for all people that are nearsighted. But with certain people, we can reduce the prescription. Some people, we can eliminate the prescription. And after a diagnostic, we can generally give a fairly accurate prediction of what we're going to be able to accomplish and what we can't.
Right, and Dr. Seiderman, he examined me, and he said, yes, I think we can use this machine for you. And he said, I can't guarantee that I'm going to cure you, i.e. get down to 20/20 vision, but we can reduce the prescription, and he did indeed do that. And what was surprising to me is that in the old days, they would say that if you were nearsighted, it was because you had something wrong with the shape of your eye. It was too long, and as a result, the image didn't focus in the right spot. And there's really three different pieces to the focusing mechanism. The shape of your eye does come into play, as does the cornea. And the third piece is the muscle on the lens. And what happens is, I think that people, when they're in school age, they do a lot of reading. They look at the computer a lot. I was a coin collector when I was a kid, and I was always looking at a lot of things very closely. And what happens is the muscle in the lens gets too strong. Just like a weightlifter, if he exercises his muscles too much, he can't scratch his back. He can't reach over and touch his toes because the muscle gets too strong. And there's really nothing wrong with the shape of my eye, and there's nothing wrong with the shape of my cornea. And I think that to change the subject a little bit, I have my daughter wearing reading glasses right now. She's 9 years old, and she's doing a lot of computer work, and she reads a lot. And I asked Dr. Seiderman about that, and he said he thought it was a good idea, because what will happen is your child will then be doing this close work, and if she has the reading glasses on, you can go to the thrift drug or CVS pharmacy and get a pair of reading glasses, which are just like the magnifying glasses, for $9.99. You can get a pair of these.
But I'm not recommending that. I'm not recommending that, Tony, because that's I think what you've said so far is fair, is accurate, but I wouldn't recommend that a parent go to a drugstore or the old five and dime or whatever.
Dating yourself, and, I would find.
Right, I realize that as I said it. Five and dime?
Yeah, five and dime. I know what you meant.
Who snuck that in there? I'll tell you my concern there is, Tony, is that you're asking, unless you know the prescription, you're asking the child to make the prescription by indicating which he can see better through, and that's not a good idea. I think the reading glasses would be effective, I think what you said was effective. I just would be very careful about having someone go and pick up a pair of glasses without having them properly prescribed.
Right. Okay, and I just would also like to finish up by saying I think this is a good alternative to people that are considering getting the laser work or the RK, because this is...
The radiokeratotomy is what you mean. Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is all big business now. And what Dr. Seiderman does is he can't cure you. He can't get it down to 20/20 vision. Not in all cases. Maybe in some, as you said, in some cases he can, if it's not a bad case. But with me, I'm going to continue with the therapy, and I have reduced my prescription by about half, and I can now do a lot of things without glasses that I wasn't able to do before. And there's no way I would ever go into one of these RK deals or an intraoperative laser, because I just feel that there's nothing wrong with the shape of my cornea, so why fix it if it's not broken? Go after the part that is broken, which is the muscles on the lens.
I want to thank you very much for calling, Tony. I appreciate you sharing your experience.
Okay, doctor.
Thanks a lot.
Tony, take care.
Okay, bye.
I guess the most logical question also is, when I think in terms of things like ADD and I think about school fit, I also think in terms of the old days with dyslexic people.
I'm not that old. I don't remember.
No, okay. I know. You knew five and dime. Get out of here. Weird. But here, from the standpoint of dyslexia, in other words, explain that, how this fits into, like, ADD, ADHD.
Well, you know,
you said the sort of was thing, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what happened? I became involved. I graduated in 1963. And I became involved in mice, but I don't laugh. I'm very...
I
look great for my age, I want to tell you.
Absolutely.
I became involved in this specialty. I was in the United States Army for 5 years. And when I left the Army, I became involved in this specialty in 1968. And I've been involved in the specialty ever since. And here's what's happened through my eyes. We've had a whole series of diagnoses for similar kinds of problems. And so the name tags seem to change, and there are some minor symptom changes, but they all seem to be revolving around the same kinds of things. When I first got involved, it was minimal brain dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was minimal cerebral dysfunction.
Right.
Then it became dyslexia, and from dyslexia it became learning disability, et cetera, right down the line. And I think that the ADD came into vogue about 10, 12, 15 years ago. And it does describe a syndrome that has that specifically deals with concentration and attention. But it's not, while it is not the same, it is not terribly dissimilar from some of the other kinds of things that we've talked
about. No, in fact, it's very close.
Yeah.
It is very
close.
There's
an overlapping of all of them, although there is different, certainly with the ADD, there's a differentiating factor here in that it deals specifically with people who have concentration and attention problems.
But these people that are dyslexic normally do not bounce around a lot.
Right. They're not the ADHD.
Yeah, exactly right.
And the dyslexic generally, the dyslexic has the reversal problems. The dyslexic has basically has an associative learning problem. That's really what it boils down to.
Yes.
And it's a very small percent. I mean, the true dyslexic, you're probably looking at maybe a half of 1%, maybe 1% of the population. It's not as nearly as common as the ADD.
A lot of people who have worked for me that had it.
But they may have been misdiagnosed, because many of the people that we see, for example, have visual perceptual motor dysfunctions, which have very similar kinds of things as the dyslexic. And when you help that particular person be able to process information more effectively,
Well, that's terrific. So that really then, ladies and gentlemen, gives you an idea.
But let me
sure.
Let me just tell folks that are listening what you might be looking for that might be helpful. The symptoms are, with kids, difficulty in school. That really is what generally creates a large part of the problem. A short attention span, easily distractible, may tend to avoid reading or study-type activities, reversals, as we've talked about. They may use their fingers as a pointer. And what they're basically doing is trying to keep their place because their eye movements are so poor, they're jumping all over the page. So they use their finger as a pointer. They may want to use a marker, or they may lose their place a lot when they read, substitute small words, skip lines. Basically can't concentrate. Mind wanders. Carelessness. So these are some of the kinds of things that come into play with with folks that are having attention deficit disorder or other learning-related problems.
Well, that seems to fill the bill, I mean, for just about everybody. I mean, when you look at all this and you put it all together, they are very similar in nature.
Very similar. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and again, let me explain this part to you. If you have a question we may not be able to get to, but the ideal situation in all this is the evaluation. Once the evaluation takes place, you're going to be fine because, as we said, you've got to get a game plan for your youngster, for an adult, and we have a story coming up for you in just a couple of moments. That's very, very gratifying, something you're really going to fall in love with. At this time, as I'm speaking to you, Cindy and Marianne are in the office. And if you take the number down, it's 610-279-8900. 610-279-8900. And they will help you set up an eval, set up the appointment. And I guess it's as easy as it gets. And by the way, the offices are in Plymouth Meeting, Lancaster, and they're newly opened at Oxford Valley. And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking to talk to Dr. Seidemann as we speak today, 664-4100, Pennsylvania Suburbs, 365-365-4100 in Philly and Jersey and in Delaware, 234-4100. Free call for Comcast Metrophone and Bell Atlantic Cellular out of PA, NJ, and Delaware. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let us go and talk to Ted. You're on DB with Dr. Seidemann. Go right ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Great,
good,
Ted.
Thanks.
Good. Doctor, question for you. How do you accurately evaluate a child who, let's see, is young, say, fourth, fifth grade, right in that range, who's going through a divorce, different problems, remarriage of his parents, stuff like that, and poor concentration in school, grades declining a little bit? How do they make an accurate judgment on that before they put him on Ritalin? Because I have a stepson who's been through that exact situation.
Well, what you need to do, Ted, is you just from the four lines that you've given me, you need to have a pretty sophisticated assessment because you've got three different things that have come into play in the three different sentences you've given, and each one is important. Number one, and I'm not sure which is more important, but I'm just listing them in no specific order. Number one, youngster has difficulty concentrating. Number two, youngster has difficulty in school. Number three, you've got some marital, you've got a divorce or whatever. So you have potentially with a divorce, I'm not saying you have for sure, but you have potentially, you have some emotional psychological issues. With the concentration, you could have any one of a number of things involved. You could have, it could be neurologically based, it could be nutritionally based, it could be visually based, psychologically based. So what you need then is somebody who can do a multidisciplinary, you're going to need somebody to look at the various facets and put together a game plan as to what would be the effective way of helping your youngster. This is not a one-dimensional assessment of one particular specialty. Somebody needs to look at this and give you information relating to the various factors that are involved because there are too many of them involved.
Right. That was quickly. The point. In other words, this child has already been diagnosed with ADD, not the HD, and is put on Ritalin. And my feeling was that there was so much going on in his life, you know, the divorce, the separation, the little battles between the parents, the father getting remarried, the mother getting remarried, all this stuff, you know, could alter, I would say, an evaluation as far as the standard procedure would go. Is that, you know, basically correct?
Well, the evaluation won't change because you need to look at all those factors. You need to make a decision. The professional needs to make a decision as to how to guide you to be able to help this youngster.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
All right, Ted.
You know what? Let me take a minute,
sure,
if I may. The times we've talked, we've almost always focused on kids.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said earlier in our discussion, this is not a problem that is peculiar to kids only. Because we don't outgrow these things. We become, if we're a youngster who has difficulty, we become an adult who has difficulty. And I asked a guest to join me today, and while he would not be a candidate, probably not be a candidate for ADD, he did have a background that brought me into play. He was having difficulty in some areas. And so let me take a second to introduce him. Introduce Bill Murphy, who is 31 years of age, graduate student at the University of Pennsylvania. He attended Harvard University undergraduate school. He's the last couple years has been an instructor at Villanova University and the University of Pennsylvania. He was first seen in our office in December of this past year, 96. And the symptoms that he presented were that his eyes tired easily, he occasionally got headaches at night, and he found that reading became more difficult for him than in the past. Obviously, reading and studying in order to go to that type of educational institution and be successful, he was able to do those things. But evidently, during recent years, it became more difficult for him than it had been in the past. And so with his eyes tiring, getting headaches, he sought out our counsel, and we found the diagnosis of a convergence insufficiency, where the eyes are not working together as a team, with an intermittent alternating suppression and unstable fusion. As a result of that, it became very difficult for him to concentrate visually, obviously having nothing whatsoever to do with his intellectual capacity. And so with that, I'd like to turn the conversation back to Dr. Corey, and he can perhaps have Bill take it from there.
Well, as you said, and you had a young man on who I thought was one of the best situations I'd ever seen. That young man that you had on, I guess it's about 2 years ago, who had gone through grade school and into junior high and had just been beaten from psychiatrist to psychologist. That young man was just crushed. And he took care of him. He had him in college. And that's one hell of a story. When you can do things like that, you turn a person's life around. And in Bill's case, when you would look at, like, his CV, which is in front of me, you'd say, he's a grad student at the University of Pennsylvania. He's going to Harvard. This guy's got all the pieces. So, hey, Bill, it's nice to have you here, first off.
Thanks, Dr. Correa. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Certainly a story of this nature. When anybody would ever see this about you, they would think you're one heck of a guy. I mean, like, off the get.
He is one of them.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but off of this, you would never then to be seen by Dr. Seidemann. People say, what happened? What went wrong? But I guess that's the story.
Absolutely, it is. And, you know, I've got to tell you, it was interesting for me. My experiences were such that I had never even heard of vision therapy before I talked to Dr. Seidemann and Cindy at the office. And as he explained, reading and doing research has really been an important part of my career. And for all of a sudden, I just really started to struggle with it, had a lot of difficulty. And I don't think I had the knowledge to understand exactly what was going on, but I did know that I couldn't read as quickly as I had been able to in the past. My eyes were tiring. I was having headaches. It was really hard to concentrate to the point where I was getting very frustrated and didn't even really in many ways want to do the work that I had always very much enjoyed. Dr. Seidemann gave a good technical description of really what it was like, but some of the other things that I think people might want to keep in mind in terms of what it's like, maybe to put it in layman's terms, certainly seeing double, and as Dr. Seidemann said, like the words or the lines sliding apart was something that I was really experiencing.
Never had it before, though.
No. And
never had it before.
Nothing like that. And it's also something that in describing that to people, the first thing everyone's going to is get your glasses checked. Standard thing. Go look through the thing at the doctor's office. And everyone I was consulting with was saying that, and no one really had picked up what was going on. And I knew from the moment I got Cindy on the phone at Dr. Seidemann's office and I started describing what was going on, they told me the kind of tests they could do. It's, you know, when you go for the evaluation and seeing they have tests that isolate the exact dysfunctions you're experiencing, and you're just like, man, I mean, I can't believe that. You know, your eyes are turning on and off without you really controlling it, which is what the kind of the suppression thing was. And in my case, it had a lot to do with Dr. Seidemann determined that, you know, it's this thing where the way your eyes relay the information to your brain, it's things weren't sent back level. One eye was sending an image back higher than the other. And apparently somehow that confuses your brain and you just can't look at what's coming in on one side. And in addition to seeing double, the things that I was experiencing is like when you read, because that's happening, you want to tilt your head like to compensate. So if you have kids who are tilting their head or they want to close one eye or shut one eye when they're reading, those were things that were really prominent with me. And that's kind of your natural way of trying to compensate for this things that are somehow thrown out of balance.
But yet, when you were going through high school and through college, you never had this, correct?
Or you might have had it on limited. It's hard to say.
To get through these schools, I mean, this guy's got to be on his game.
I think that this is a late onset And it's not unusual, as we lose the ability to focus or accommodate, which comes with age, that people who have a tendency toward convergence insufficiency manifest it at that time. So I think that you're, it was interesting, and that's one of the reasons I asked Bill to join us, is because it is a little different than, it's very different than the thing we've talked about in the
past. Absolutely, when you look at a guy like this.
Here's someone who's been successful, who hasn't had this problem.
Absolutely.
But it can come at any time. And before I turn it back to Bill again, let me ask you just a second, for a second, though. Imagine, if you will, the situation that Bill's just described with someone who has to work at a computer all day long. I mean, the number of people that are working on computers today that have visual problems of this kind, and the discomfort and the tiring of the eyes, they become irritable, and when they get home at night, they're having trouble. There's an enormous population. What I'm trying to say is there is an enormous population of people that are working on computers because that's what they do to make a living.
You think all the eyes would tire only from using the computer?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you came home after 7 hours on a computer, you'd say to whomever, you'd say, geez, my eyes are tired.
That
would be normal.
These people who spend a lot of time on computers and have any of these kinds of symptoms really need to think about the potential of doing something about it so that they are not limited by their visual problems. Not limited in the ability to be able to concentrate because it will affect their job advance. Well, because I'm telling them right now.
Yeah, but I mean, how would
they know? They wouldn't.
Under no circumstance. A person who works on a computer 7-8 hours
a day. They need to read chapter 7 in the book, 2020 is not enough.
Because without that, they would assume they're tired. And let's assume you and I go walk for 2 hours.
They have no way. You're 100%. They have no way in the world. No one ever would say that.
It's like
they have a traditional eye exam. Doctor says, 20/20, not a problem. Or we change the glasses and they make them a little stronger. But that's not going to affect how they concentrate on the computer. Anyway, I don't want to take.
No, that's
I want
right.
to turn
just,
it back to yeah, Bill.
Just,
I don't want to.
What you said, though, is really something whereby if that person is not really on their game, like in Bill's case, intelligent guy, so he knew he had a problem. Of some nature, whatever it may be. He's saying to himself, yeah, there's something wrong here. But when you look at his curriculum, I mean, here's a guy who went to Harvard. Here's a guy at Villanova. Here's a guy at Penn. Phew! I mean, this is top of the line stuff.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Not unless you write on a bulletin board. So, I mean, what he's done is spectacular. And to be able to figure that out for himself. See, most people who work on a computer would assume that they're fatigued only because of what? Because working behind a computer.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, that's the thing that's... in some ways hard when you said, you know, did you ever have it before? Sometimes I think you don't know because you kind of get this dialogue going with yourself. I should be trying harder, or I'm, you know, concentrating, or I'm not concentrating, or I've got to try to focus more or work harder. And maybe it's in some level that's partially true, but it also may be this other kind of stuff. And I think that in my case, it's hard to know retrospectively, but it's as you're exposed to more time at the computer, heavy volume of reading, anything like that in the workplace, depending on what your you know, your career or professional demands are, that kind of visual stress, I think, is really what brings this stuff out. And I think that might have been going on in my case. So it's the kind of thing where I tell my students that getting an evaluation can never hurt you, and I
absolutely
wish I had done
that's,
it a long
no,
time
that's,
ago.
No, that's what I've said, yeah. And I think that this, where the, and he and I have gone over this, where the doc says, okay, your vision's 20/20, and we've always assumed, the minute they say 20, oh, geez, I'm fine, I gotta go, goodbye.
Most people spend
that's
more,
because,
you know, in college on your beer or keeping your car clean than you
I
do on your
thing,
eyes.
I think you're definitely right. Bill, I gotta assume you're 100% right. I think he's right. I've never drank, but I mean, a lot of people do.
Your eyes are one of the most important things you've got going for you.
There's
so, I mean, you've got to do it.
And the way you process it and all those
absolutely.
Things. And he and I have gone over this and over this and over this. And even when the parents call in, they say, but, Doc, they're perfect. No. We've got to go one more step. All right, listen up, people. Here's the way you're going to go to one more step. You want to stay here till 12 tonight?
Sure.
Okay, might as well.
I guess from dinner I'll come back.
Yeah. Hey, and bring some more back. Don't be a one-way guy. Okay, Cindy and Mary Ann are there right now at 610-279-8900. 610-279-8900. And as I said, this story with Bill, I mean, is truly outstanding. I mean, we've had young people here who have, he's battled through some tough, tough times. But here's a guy who has all the pieces to the puzzle. He's squared away people. And he says, hey, look, I got a little problem. And he goes in and he gets squared away. And the gals are there, and Dr. Seiderman will be back there. So you won't have any difficulty. And again, the officer in Plymouth Meeting in Lancaster and newly opened at Oxford Valley. So you can make that call now. And the evaluation part of this is really perfect, because as we have just said, when they say 2020, and I know you assume that everything's perfect, and in reality, it's true. That's the thing that's always gotten me about the youngsters. For some reason or other, I hate to see kids like just bamboozled and beat up for no good reason, when all you got to do is this one time, and you got it. One time only.
You need to do the evaluation.
Done. End of story.
And you need to get a game plan.
That's it. I like it. That's the way it should be. Okay, let us talk to the people, and Bill, you take some questions with these people also. Hey, Joan, you're on DB with Dr. Seidemann and Bill Murph.
Yes, John, actually.
Oh, okay. She skipped. All right.
That's okay. Yeah, I had gone to Dr. Seidemann back when I was about, I don't know, probably about 15 or something, and I think it's really important what you're talking about here, because I had gone through most of my young, you know, when you're learning to do math and things like that, and I really missed a lot of my math fundamentals. What are you saying about, like, doing, like, the vision problems and stuff like that to stretch your eyes and being misdiagnosed as ADD? It's right. They're right. You know, you go to the doctor, and he says, look at the eye chart. Your eyes, your vision's 20/20, maybe not quite 20/20, but they don't even check you for a lot of this other stuff, and, you know, you're in class, and your teacher says, well, he's not concentrating, he's spacing out. Well, what you're doing is you're looking at the board, your eyes start to get tired, and they, you know, they float or they don't work together or whatever, and you, like, drift off into space. It's almost like seeing double, but not quite. Your eye just kind of shifts a little bit. You kind of, like, go off into dreamland. So that's about it.
I mean, when your mind wanders, I mean, that's what we hear a lot. We hear that, I have difficulty concentrating, and it seems like my mind wanders. In fact, I hear from a lot of people, John, is that I actually read 5 or 6 pages or a chapter, and I read every word on the page, and I get to the end of the chapter, I don't know what the heck I just read. I say, what did I just read? I read all this, but I have no idea what I read. And the reason is, because for many people, is because visually, they've already tuned out.
Yeah, my father was like Mr. Math, and he couldn't understand why he couldn't teach me to do long division. Like you said about looking through one eye, I would lay my head down on the paper and like look through one eye, and I found that I could do it better. Now, he'd walk into the room and see me laying my head down and think, well...
Until you're taking a nap.
You're taking a nap.
He said, come on, John, get up. Will you, boy? Let's go here.
Until they found out what the problem was, and that's the problem. I mean, people get, you know, they don't get diagnosed with this young, and then they miss a lot of their fundamentals, and it really can screw them up. I mean, I've never been real great at math because I had such a low self-esteem about...
You didn't go to parochial school.
I could do the stuff.
Those nuns, man, day after day after day. You didn't have any problem with long division, multiplication. I mean, you did it. Well, that's a great story. And how long, when did you go in there, John, by the way?
What's that?
When did you go in to see Dr. Seidemann?
Oh, it was quite a while ago. I'm 35 now, and it was in my mid-teens by the time they finally figured it out. My mother was a registered nurse, and she was into, like, nutritional things also. Mm. And she heard about Dr. Seidemann. We went in and had the tests, and he did a lot of exercises that strengthened the eyes so that they worked. He had all kinds of weird things, looking at things in 3D and touching them with, pixie sticks and stuff like that. It was interesting.
Well, you remember, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for calling and sharing that, John.
That helps a lot of people.
We're in Plymouth Meeting now. We were in Elkins Park 20 years ago, so you get a chance, stop by in Plymouth Meeting and say hi, would you?
I certainly will.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It's a nice story.
Yes.
It's a guy. He did the same. It was interesting what Bill said when they turned their head. And you turn your head, you turn your head, and pretty soon a father walked in through. He said, see, I told you that was a bright, not working hard enough. Do we have this any closer? I mean, that really tells the whole story. And again, ladies and gentlemen, to get that evaluation, that was a great call from John. Absolutely outstanding work, because you see how easy this does work. Once you get the idea of what it is, you got it. 610-279-8900. 610-279-8900. Cindy is there. They'll make the appointment, get the eval squared away, and Marianne. And this is not something, as Bill said, where you just go in there for a couple of minutes. You're there for a while. You're going to get squared away. You're going to learn a little something about yourself, huh? Well, no difficulty about that. So that's some nice stuff. Let's go right back. And Sam, you're on DB with Dr. Seidemann. Go right ahead.
Hi, doctor. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Okay. I have a condition called, I was diagnosed about a year ago with a condition called Stargardt's. I have a focusing problem. It's star, S-T-A-R, and Gartz, G-A-R-D-T-S. I don't know whether you're familiar with that condition or not. But the problem is, with me, is focusing and reading, and basically what you mentioned on the radio, you know, I use a ruler in order to see and read.
Have you ever gone through a vision therapy program?
No, I have not.
Have you ever considered? You ought to consider.
Well, that's why I'm calling you.
You ought to consider it because from what you're telling me, mm-hmm. you're having difficulty focusing. You're evidently having have some type of oculomotor dysfunction as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using a ruler to keep your place,
yeah.
I've not met you, so I don't know your age and whatever. But
I'm 33.
Focusing and accommodative and focusing skills can generally be improved. Probably in 95 to 98% of the people that we see
right.
that are under the age of 40.
Right.
So, and the instrument, I don't know if you were listening a little earlier when we had a caller who was a patient of mine working in myopia control, was using the computer based on biofeedback principles.
Yeah.
That's what that does.
Right.
Works with accommodation and focusing. So I think that you would be a candidate for a vision therapy program where we might be able to help you a lot.
Okay, and the phone number is 610-279-8900.
You got it right on the money, Sam.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
That's our pleasure. Bill, your story is one that I think brings this really close. And all through your high school, all through your junior high and your grade school, I mean, you worked real hard because you got in some great schools. Your SAT score certainly had to be really high. You have a great background as far as your degree programs are concerned on the college level. And after this was complete, or is it complete as we speak now, are you finished the program?
Yes.
You are finished complete?
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, there's a follow-up phase where Dr. Seiderman will bring me in every couple of months and
just evaluate, see where
exactly,
you are.
Exactly, make sure nothing has...
changed.
Yeah, or nothing don't need changed. Any fine-tuning, anything of that sort,
okay.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this, of course. How do you feel with it?
Great. I mean, it's... You'll literally go to... It just relieves the symptoms. I mean, this thing, you go through it totally. It strengthens the muscles of your eyes, retrains the perceptual system, and it's like your eyes work together smoothly again, which was the bottom line of the problem before.
Unbelievable story there. Unbelievable at that age with those kind of credentials. I mean, that's spectacular. That's really spectacular.
We're real proud of him.
I guess you should be. I mean,
we're real proud.
Stop
the
line.
We're proud to be associated with Bill.
Oh, sure. Proud to.
Let me take a second.
Sure, go ahead.
The last time that I was on your show, you have such a great following and such devoted listenership. We received so many calls from listeners who wanted information, couldn't get in on the phone lines. Almost every phone line is lit up as we speak, and we're running out of time.
That's right. You're going over there and answer the calls.
I'm going to answer calls.
Go, yeah,
right.
You're going back in the
office.
I'm going
to answer calls back in the office.
No, you're going to do it here, too, before you go.
Oh, okay. I have to do that here for...
Yeah, we're going
to
give you a couple.
Okay. We decided to have a follow-up, and we're going to have two free seminars this week. One will be held in our office in Plymouth Meeting, which is right near the Blue Route or the Plymouth Meeting Mall. It's a couple blocks from the Plymouth Meeting Mall in Germantown Pike. And the other one will be in our office in Oxford Valley. So if you're interested and you need more information, you want to attend, there's no cost, it's complimentary, we'd love to have you, but we do ask that you call and make a reservation so we know that you're coming, we know how many chairs to have, et cetera, et cetera. So Tuesday evening we'll be in Plymouth Meeting, Thursday evening we'll be in our office in Oxford Valley. Please call and talk to Cindy or Marianne or Dagmar, the number is 610-279-8900. And let them know that you're coming, and we'd be delighted to have you.
Dagmar, Jerry Lester. How did I ever... Did you remember that? I go back pretty far, too. Remember the show, Jerry Lester and Dagmar?
You're way before me.
Okay, thank you. Bill, it was really a pleasure having you on. The story that you have told is simply spectacular in nature. To be able to do that and to come up with it, and the idea of what you said to that young man called with the turning the head. I mean, it was unbelievable.
So that's what'll get you.
Yeah, turning the head.
That's right.
And the only thing was he was turning it all the way down. Put it right on the desk. Okay, listen. Hey, guys, it was great to have you. Dr. Seiderman, anytime, because I like what you do, and I like the idea of one of these days, getting this into the school system so that we can end this situation and get all these people squared away. Really nice to have you guys.
Thanks. Good seeing you.
Listen, nice to see you. Always my pleasure to have people on the air when you can give out information like this, because this really does help an awful lot of people.